So we are, what, 5 weeks now into lockdown, more than 5 weeks into lockdown. I think last night marked the fifth week. We're now into the sixth week. And how do you explain to the little person in your family what's going on at the moment? How do you explain to the four-year-old, as I said before, that they can't go to the park, they can't go on their favourite swing? Do you know what I mean? Because, of course, the parks and things are closed, but how do you explain that? It's quite difficult to kind of put it into language that a youngster will understand. Well, luckily, a book explaining the coronavirus to very young children has been published online, and the illustrator lives here in the county. I'm delighted now to be joined on the show by Lisa Johnson. Good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You live in Dereham, yes? Let me make sure I've got this right. Good.
I do, yeah, live in Dereham.
Good West Cumbrian lass from Harrington, was in Harrington, now in Dereham. And to one of the book's writers as well, we say hello to Dan Ullman, who he lives in Reading, so not in the county, but still providing a good service to the county. Dan, good morning. Good afternoon, actually.
Yeah, afternoon, just check the time.
I know, I've just checked the time as well. It is afternoon. Dan, first of all to you, this is something that is absolutely obvious to do, but, you know, I wonder why others haven't thought about it. You know, trying to explain to the little ones in the way that you've done it, just exactly what is going on. How come you thought of it in the first place?
Yeah, so like I said, we are definitely not professional authors by any means. This is the first time we've ever considered writing a book. And like I said, it sort of started off more as something we're just scribbling on a piece of paper for our little two-year-old. Where we were sort of like drawing stick men and sort of making our own little story just to sort of try and explain to her as a sort of little bedtime story what's going on. So it sort of followed like a bit of an emotional day where she'd had to sort of say hello to her cousin that lived down the road sort of out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And she just couldn't understand why she couldn't run out and sort of play with her and have a cuddle and things like that. So we thought, right, let's try and do something to sort of explain to her what's going on. We put some words together, me and my wife, and then after we'd written it, we actually put it up on our Facebook page just to say, you know, this is something we're doing for our little one, if anyone's interested in using it for anything. And so one thing led to another, where a few people were saying, you know, this is nice, this is great, you know, can we get some pictures put on it? And I sort of put the word out saying, you know, if I do know anyone that's nice and creatively minded that would be interested in helping us out with this little project, that'd be amazing. And I'll pop Lisa as a straight away, who was as a mother herself was really keen to help us sort of turn it into more of a proper story.
Yeah, we'll chat to Lisa in a second because she's patiently waiting there on the line. But, you know, patience is a virtue. She's fine with it. She's fine with it, seriously. But these little ones, you kind of look at them and it is very difficult to explain to them because we've got little ones. We've got two-year-old, one that's coming up three as well, just at the beginning of May. And they can't understand why they've got to sit on the wall and wave to Nana. They don't understand it. And why suddenly Nana and Grandad have disappeared out of their lives.
Yeah, it's really scary. And I'd say it's a blessing and a curse that we've actually got family very close by. So we were lucky enough to be seeing them very regularly beforehand. So we've got, you know, Granny and Gramps live down the road, and her cousin and auntie and uncle live sort of down the road the other way. So it's sort of hit her quite hard that, you know, from going to seeing them sort of every other day and to not seeing them at all. And then on top of that, you know, she's not seeing her friends at nursery. We're obviously spending a lot of time phoning people that she knows that she'd normally see in person and be able to sort of hug them and kiss them and things like that. So it's a really tough time for her.
Well, it's all part of her development as well, because what you say, she's 2 years old. So, you know, being able to socialise and be around people adds to their personality, adds to their growth, really, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I'm getting really scared that she's just taken on too much of mine at the moment. so, God help her. But yeah, so like all these little things that she'd normally be picking up from, like I say, especially from nursery and things like that, and coming home and telling us about, we're sort of relying on things that we're telling her, you know, how many things can you see out the window and things like that, really. So yeah,
you're lucky you can see stuff. You're lucky you can see stuff, though. And you know, if you've got, I don't know what your situation is, whether you've got a garden or something like that. You know, there are some children who are basically being kept locked away in flats. You know, they've got no garden. They've got no outside bits to go and play out because the parks are too far away, etc., etc. So, you know, they just don't have an understanding as to what's going on. Why are we being stuck in this room all the time? This is dreadful.
Exactly, and as we Lisa will vouch for me, we had some debates about whether we actually called the book Stuck Inside, and I know there's been messaging around, you know, should we be pushing out the message that they're stuck or is it that they're safe? But the actual sort of idea of the book is that that's how these kids are feeling, and, you know, they're sort of clawing at the doors to get out. And the idea of the story is it goes through, you know, here's all the things that are changing, this is what's happening. And the bit at the end, as with any kid's book, is like, you know, we'll be together again. You're going to be able to hug your friends and your family. But yeah, you can't finish a kid's book on a downer.
No, you can't. And this is available to download. So where do we go and download it?
Yeah, so we set up a website called stuckinsidebook.com, where you can download it completely for free. It's available as a PDF at the moment, and we're making it available across a couple of stores, like sort of Kindle stores and Apple Books and things like that as well, just so it's as easy to get as possible. Anywhere that lets put up for free, really.
Right.
And then on the site there as well is a button that if, you know, you do find it particularly useful and you want to show your appreciation in some sort of way, we do have a button on there to donate to the NHS Charities Appeal, where I think we've just passed the sort of £750 mark at the moment for people that have read the book and wanted to donate. So
excellent.
I'll read
the website out in a second or two. In the meantime, though, Dan, well done. Thank you very much for joining us and for coming up with the idea, and to your wife, Catherine, as well, because she's been a big part of it. So thank you. Let's get to Lisa, though, because, Lisa, you've had your crayons out.
I have,
So you are an illustrator. Is that your role in life? Are you an illustrator? Because I said you've done the illustrating for this.
Yeah, that's all I'm good at in a crisis, drawing pictures. I thought I haven't got any useful role when the world comes to a standstill, so I'll draw some pictures. But
that's
what I've always done.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing to draw, though, for youngsters. So I take it you've got young people in your family, so you kind of knew what sorts of things would appeal to them.
Yeah, I've got a little girl called Ember. She's three. And I've just sort of thought about the things that she'd like to see, the colours and things like that. But essentially, I do have quite a childish mind. So I thought if I'd like to see it, then colourful and fun and creative, then it would draw the kids' eyes to it as well. And they'd like to look at the pictures.
Well, yeah, because the pictures are as important as the words that go in there, really.
Yeah. I love illustrating the story. And I like it that when I read Dan and Catherine's story, I didn't have to try too hard to think about what I was going to illustrate.
Mm-hmm.
The images sort of came to me, especially one of Boris on the telly. I loved having the opportunity to illustrate Boris Johnson. But yeah.
And, you know, the way you interpret him is the way you interpret him, and that's how you want to pass it on to the children as well. You don't want to, like, any scary faces or anything like that. You know, this has got to be somebody...
Silly Boris.
Oh, bless. But it's what a great job, though, as an illustrator.
It really was. I jumped at the chance, because, like I said, I don't feel very useful at the moment. I thought I'd do something... I've got no big major skills in a crisis, so I thought, well, what can I do as an illustrator and designer? So I just felt really good that I could help in some sort of way, really.
Do you know, it was as I was saying to Sue earlier on, who joined us, she was sewing scrubs.
Yeah.
And you just find something to do during this time, and it might be something that lasts for the whole duration of the pandemic. It might be something that just takes up 5 or 6 days of your time. But, it doesn't matter. You're doing something.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it's really keeping my mind off of the things as well, stopping from worrying about it and having something else to focus on creatively as well. I think it's really helped, so I'm going to have to find another project to do soon.
No, but I think you will. And I think everybody's kind of in the same boat where that's concerned, is that we are all worried about getting it. We're worried about passing it on. We're worried about our loved ones getting it. We're worried about, you know, the just terrible outcomes. And you think, well, look at it now. At the moment, it couldn't get any worse, surely. than what it is at the moment. But if we don't adhere to the rules, then it could. So, yeah, we just do what we can, don't we?
That's it, yeah. So I just hope that the little ones like the book, and it wasn't... I think it was a bit of a challenge not making it too scary for them as well, not trying to sort of frighten them and think there's this nasty bug out there and stuff, and keep it more positive. And
yeah, because what you don't want to do is to get them over the pandemic and then them not want to go out because they think that there's a scary bug still out there waiting to get them. You don't know how a child's mind really works, do you, Lisa? But anyway, well, hopefully...
My little lady still keeps saying, oh, I don't want to go outside and get the cold.
Oh, I know, but that's what they're thinking. You know what I mean? That's exactly what they're thinking. Jobs are gooden. If it's the only thing you do during the pandemic, it doesn't matter because the jobs are gooden. Go on then. Is that your posh phone voice done with now for how long?
How did I do?
Yeah, you did very well with your posh phone voice. No. You know, I was warned that you might just use your posh phone voice when you come on and nobody who knows you would recognise you.
No, I think I found a good level. You could understand me.
Well, we understood you. You didn't go too broad. Don't worry yourself. No, well done for doing this, Lisa. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, see you soon. Lisa Johnson there, who is from, well, living in Dereham now. And if you want to download that book, Stuck Inside, go to stuckinsidebook.com and there will be ways and means in which you'll be able to download it.